Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cesarino, back again to talk about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of January 23rd, 2019, here on News AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. Here we are back again here on a Wednesday to talk about the midweek news, everything that's going on in the world. And we're very excited to have back with us here once again, fashion model, television star, just got off the shoot of yet another commercial. Here is Mr. Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
I'm great. Just got back from St. George, Utah, representing Tall Slim Tees.
Yes. They're a t-shirt. What are Tall Slim Tees?
They're a t-shirt that's a little bit longer and also slim for the taller, slimmer gentleman. Because you can go to the big and tall store if you're big and tall. But what if you're tall and small?
Tall and small. That's what these are for?
These are for tall and small guys. Like, I'm
tall,
skinny. I'm tall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not tall and small, guys.
Or
tall,
you can just
small.
Buy tall shirts and bulk into a bigger size.
That was the only option before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now there's this other option. And it's actually great because I'm 6'3", and my routine throughout my entire life has been wash my medium or small t-shirts in cold. And then when I get them out of the wash machine, I stretch them by hand to give them an extra length and then hang dry them. But now these shirts, there's a few inches added to the bottom of them. Perfect.
Yeah. This is like the opposite of the Quadrosaurus jeans that we talked about last week from Gong Show.
Proof again that there's something for everyone.
Something for everybody. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a man who is waiting for the most vascular shirts to come out. Please welcome the great Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Doing well, but Tyson, I just want to point out that there is one downside to being average everywhere, is that everything you want is sold out, and you never get bargain items.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm always looking for items that are on sales, and I'll find something. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, this is perfect. But then you'll go, of course, they're not going to have it in my size because medium's always gone. Whereas I think that you can occasionally find some really cheap, good gear that's tailored to only people of your size.
That's true, but there's not a lot of things that are tailored only to my size, because I also wear a medium, or now lately a large. But shoes are one thing that I always find on sale, because I wear a 9.
Mm.
And average size is like a 10.5 or 11, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I always find shoes on sale for me.
Couldn't you buy your clothing from countries that have people more your stature? You know,
me? Like, what other countries are known for being tall and slim?
Norwegians, I think some of those Scandinavian countries have taller people who are also slim. It seems like you could go and order clothing from them, and they'll have a wide selection of people yourself.
But why would I do that when I have tall, slim tees here?
Yeah. Because then you can be a snobby Euro clothing wearer.
But honestly, these tees, if you're tall and slim, they do fit perfect. It's crazy. And they don't have that droopy, like... like, you know, all the young kids are wearing those shirts that have like the half moon shape cut out on the bottom.
Okay. I didn't even know about that.
I didn't know that either.
So the shirts at the bottom now, they're shaped like, they're not straight across. They're like, I'm sure there's a word for it, but I am too old to wear that. It's like a drop crotch pants of t-shirts.
Yeah.
I can't wear those. I'm too old. I just want something that's just like...
Why is that? Why does that come down in the front? Is that to...
And back. Front and back.
And back. Is that to hide any stains that could be on your front?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. No, I don't think so, but it could hide the stains. I'm not saying it couldn't, but I think it's just the style. They want long shirts, but they are cut like a dress shirt at the bottom.
I like more of a midriff.
You know what I'm going to do?
I would if I had abs like you, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Here's an idea for if you want, we could do the long shirts and then put in two little snaps so that you can snap them in your crotch area and turn your t-shirt into a onesie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a bodysuit.
A bodysuit.
Yeah.
So if your pants get dirty, but you still want to be modest, you just...
Oh, sloth terrarium. Here we come. Want me to tell you something?
Sure.
Yes.
There's one or two listeners right now who are fuming that we haven't gotten to the news yet.
Oh,
okay.
The others are enjoying our banter.
Yeah, I follow the chat. I just wait to see if I was like, please get to the news already. Try to see.
That's all right. Some people need to know what's going on in the world. And I can understand that.
All right, this is going on, though. Tall Slim Tees is going on.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, but only in your world. They want to talk about things that may influence them, especially if they live
all
near
right, let's get to our top story.
It sounds like we had
hour.
A complaint.
You know, we are on the forefront of baby gender reveals, and a new one is sweeping the world by storm. Baby gender reveal lasagna, the new way to reveal your baby's gender. Danny, would you be interested in inviting the crew over to your house to reveal the sex of your baby in utero by way of lasagna?
Gross. What better way to celebrate the birth of a child than presenting people with food that looks very similar to the birth of a baby, like the general color and
all the meat and stuff.
All the meat. This is a terrible idea. Not as bad as the people who started the fire in Texas with the gender reveal bomb that set the prairie on fire. Mm-hmm. So this is nice, but still disgusting.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, nobody cares. You're having a baby, boy or girl, unless you live in China, nobody really cares.
Yeah. Now, if you're having a girl, doesn't it kind of look mostly like a normal lasagna, Danny?
No, because it's lighter pink.
Lighter pink?
Yeah.
It's like penne alla vodka lasagna.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Here's what I'm going to say. This company who's selling these paid the New York Post $85 million to post this thing like it's some new fad. There's one person who's ever cut into one of these lasagnas, and you're looking at her in this photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So, nobody's buying this garbage.
Had a reveal very similar to this lasagna. This one.
What was
picture.
It?
Once at Scouts, the scout leader gave us all donuts, and I bit into mine, and I asked him if they were supposed to be blueberry filled, and he said they were supposed to be raspberry. But he had had them for so long that they had become moldy, and that's exactly the color of the raspberry filling right there. So it was a reveal that I was eating mold. Very similar.
Yeah.
Well, why did he even serve those to you if they were that old?
Because he was an old person. They don't know.
Oh, they keep on. They keep everything. It's true.
Dear, what do we have in the pantry to give these scouts?
We've got just a brick of ribbon candy all stuck together.
We've got some hardtack, some jerky, and this some box jerky. Of donuts.
I didn't know we had jerky. It didn't used to be jerky.
Yeah.
No.
Old people, man.
How does
my mom will eat expired food all the time.
How expired?
Sometimes years.
Would she eat this lasagna?
She'd taste the lasagna, I bet. But like, if it's sealed up in a can, she's like, those expiration dates are just for show, and she'll just eat it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, she's still healthy, so I guess she's right, and I'm the idiot. But still, like, cutting into a can that's like 2 years past the expiration, you got to be a little bit nervous.
Well, I think that there's two different dates. There's like an expiration date and a best used by date. And I'm not sure if necessarily if that's like mutually exclusive.
By the way, what is your point?
I'm going to go back to this story and say that Rob pointed out that the best gender reveal is the one that happens the day the baby is born. And Rob said that months ago. And I think that's the only reveal that is exciting. This stuff is
nobody's
just so
excited
stupid.
About this.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to eat that lasagna, and nobody really cares.
Wants to be there, and everybody has to feign excitement as you're like, "Oh, cool! I knew it was going to be one of the two."
And you have to pretend. You have to console the woman or man when they don't get the gender they were hoping. They have to hide their tears from all the people.
I told you when we drove around trying to find somebody who would do an early gender. Thing for me and Rachel. So we were our first daughter, Bergen. We were told that we were going to have an ultrasound like at week 16. So we were both thinking, oh, this is when we find out the gender of the baby. So we told everybody, oh, we're going to find out the gender on this day. But we weren't doing a reveal party. We were just like fielding questions as people texted. We're like, okay, what is it? And then we'd be like, oh, this is what it was. So we go there and they do an ultrasound, but they're like, we're not going to tell you the gender yet. We wait till like 22 weeks. And you're like, what? And they're like, we can't really tell and we're not sure. So we don't say anything. So we found this place in Salt Lake. So everybody was texting us. I was like, now we got to go do it. So we went to the mall in Salt Lake where they have these places that are exclusively doing gender ultrasounds. So we go in and Rachel was sure it was a boy. And we were both hoping-ish for a boy, but it didn't really matter that much, you know? And we go in and the woman is like, it's a girl. And you could see the look on Rachel's face of just like, she had somehow convinced herself it was for sure a boy. So she just kind of was like, oh, and the lady was like, it's very healthy and happy. And she's like, I know. And she's like, I have to tell some people that there's not a heartbeat. And Rachel's like, oh yeah, no, I'm stoked. And we walk out and Rachel just starts sobbing in the mall. And I'm like, now some hero dude's going to come up and punch me in my face for making this girl cry. And I'm like, don't cry here. You can't cry in public. That's a thing you can't do when you're with a spouse anymore. You have to come with me to the parking lot in the car. Then we have to drive away. And then it's okay to cry as much as you want. But here with everybody watching with me standing here, it's really going to turn bad for me as some, it could be anybody. It could be like the worst criminal in the world could come up and just punch me in the face with brass knuckles and be like, you're welcome, ma'am. You're welcome, ma'am.
I know a couple also that had the gender reveal party and then it turned out that there was a mistake that they got it wrong. They had the gender reveal party for a boy and then the baby is a girl.
Yeah, that happens too. And to be clear, we were very excited to have Bergen and to have a baby girl, but Rachel had hyped up and convinced herself it was a boy for some reason. And so that to her was just like, she couldn't wrap her mind around that because she'd already convinced herself and prepared for having a boy.
Look, I think it's very exciting for the expecting parents to find out.
That's the only person that's exciting.
The only people.
The problem with the party is it's like, hey, we're excited about this and now everybody else has to pretend to be. You know, I'm sure maybe the grandparents, maybe like if you have a nice sibling,
the siblings.
I think that, you know, to get the gender reveal party to more than eight guests.
Who started this trend?
Somebody's not having a good time.
This has only been going on for like, what, 2-3 years, maybe? I mean, mainstream.
Probably more than that.
Yeah, probably in the fringes for more than that. But it's just becoming more and more popular to do.
You know why?
Why?
Because photos of these are like some of the most popular photos on Instagram.
Yep. It's the gram.
Instagram dictates every stupid little tradition that we have in our lives.
I'll agree with that. You got to make a video out of everything. And so here's another way to make a moment that you can take pictures of and post.
Okay. Well, the baby gender reveal lasagna, I guess it comes for $140 if you want to order this.
Oh my gosh, $140.
May as well just go to Nobu.
What about some gender reveal sushi?
Oh my, because it's all pink. Is there a blue type? I mean, food coloring.
That's easy enough.
Think so.
Break open that California roll. See that blue shrimp in the middle or whatever.
That blue minced crab or whatever they got going
crab,
on.
That's right.
Yeah,
crab.
That you can order this. There is one particular restaurant that is doing this. You could order this from catering from a restaurant called.
No. Don't tell the name because that's all they want.
Also, don't go to this restaurant.
It's from a restaurant called Villa. And it is in I believe this is in the New Jersey area. For $140, you get the gender reveal lasagna plus salad, either garden, Caesar, or Greek.
I guarantee you this restaurant is going to see a drop in the number of people attending who are not having gender reveals.
Could you imagine? Are the salads also colored?
Yeah, could you get the regular lasagna and then the salad dressing is either blue cheese or Russian?
Or Thousand Island.
Thousand Island, maybe that could be good. Either one.
It's obnoxious when they sing happy birthday at a restaurant. How much more obnoxious is it when you have to be part of a gender reveal that's happening in the table right next to you?
Why, do you sing at a gender reveal?
They probably do. They probably have, should we write the gender reveal song? And we can make millions off of royalties.
Oh, dude, yeah. And then make it not open.
Oh, yeah, not open source.
Not open source, closed source, and just be like... What gender is it? What gender is it? What gender is it? You'll never know until you pop this thingy open. That's how you find out the gender. Yeah.
I've never been to a gender reveal party, but I feel like it must be, you know, a lot of just like waiting, like, so what time are they doing this at? What is it? It's four now. Gosh, yep. What are they going to do it at six? Boy.
As you describe it, I feel like I'm already there. I know that situation well. Like,
where's the New Year's
start?
Yeah. Okay.
Way worse.
All right. We talked a couple of weeks ago, or a couple months ago at this point, around Halloween time, about the coffin challenge. But there is a new sci-fi film, Danny, which is being shown inside of a coffin. Would you be interested in this experience?
What's the situation? Can you set this up? Because if it's a coffin and there's other people around, I'd be too paranoid that someone would actually put me in the ground while I was watching the movie. Like if I was in my own personal coffin that I have in my living room, watching it in the privacy of my own home, I'd feel okay. So, but with other people around, I don't want to be part of a prank.
Okay. So at the Göteborg Film Festival in Sweden, volunteers were asked to watch the apocalyptic sci-fi film Aniara.
Okay.
And they're calling this a sarcophagus screening. Now, Tyson, you were going to get some Scandinavian clothes. Would you be interested in traveling to Sweden to view this new film in a coffin?
I would not travel to Sweden just for that. And also, I would also have my reservations about... getting in the coffin like Danny and having somebody on the exterior be in control of it.
Yeah.
So, but if there was more to do in Sweden, like if they were like all expense paid trip 2 weeks in Sweden and this is the only thing you have to do, for sure I would be there.
Yep. I'm there too. Just me and Tyson, we'll go.
Yeah.
We're a package deal.
Why do we need to watch the movie in a coffin?
Because it's like a 4D experience where I'm assuming the film is quite claustrophobic. And so this just adds to that experience. Mm-hmm. I don't mind the idea. I think if it is what if the film was actually about people ending up in coffins, then for sure you're going to want to have seen it in a coffin.
Yeah, and they've talked about releasing smells during movies to kind of put you there.
They do it through Soarin', California.
Okay, there you go. So this is just another way to immerse yourself in the film. Especially this one is about, this is science fiction about some space travelers, colonists traveling through space, which I love sci-fi. So I'm there. Maybe I'll go, if it's a package deal with me and Tyson, Tyson will stand guard over my coffin while I watch. And then I'll do that for him when it comes his turn to watch. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I'll do it.
Do we trust each other enough to do that?
I trust you, especially with how comfortable you'll be with your new Scandinavian clothing that fits
That's
perfectly.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I totally trust you.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if anybody tries this out and can let us know. This is a story that we really wanted to talk about this week. We talk a lot about Chinese social media on this show. It happens to be one of the areas that we really pay a lot of attention. And Tyson,
we're experts.
There's a new Chinese app which is going to alert you, sort of like, I believe this is how some apps like Grindr function, where they have sort of like a GPS feature where they could, you could be alerted to other people. This is an app that will tell you if you are within 500 yards of someone that is in debt. In debt to you. This is an app that tells you if you are in debt to anybody.
But here's the best part. So you could see if they're living it up while in debt. That's the best part. So you can report them if they appear to be not, giving themselves self-flagellation while they walk down the street in rags. If it looks like they're living it up.
Yeah.
You can report them.
If they're buying like baby turtle breakfasts and stuff, I think that's something that we
Is
saw
that
them.
The breakfast of rich champions?
Probably not. But they, I mean, it could go both ways. I think that, this is probably a way for people to like really be scared into paying their debts. But also, should we be knowing all of our neighbors' debts?
Oh, wait, hold on.
Well,
a second. Number one, do you think that this doesn't actually work? It's just a way to trick people that are in debt to like, hey, stop wasting your money
Live
and pay
fear.
Your debt.
Well, how many people have
to catch you?
How many people have phones and how many people are have them on them all the time. And if you're in debt in China, you might not even have enough money to even buy a phone.
No, because even when you're in debt, the one thing you must own in the modern world is a phone. That's why you see homeless people with iPhones.
Yeah, but it has to be a smartphone that has a GPS locator and stuff on it.
Every phone is a smartphone.
It could also just be an address of where the person lives. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it doesn't track the person per se. Maybe it just is their last known whereabouts.
I would love to see the pop-up that asks you if you want to opt in. Like, would you like to provide us with your financial details to opt into this debt shaming scheme?
Of course, they're going to say yes.
Oh yeah. That sounds fine. Part of that.
I think you're assuming that they give them.
I know. It's China.
Okay, good. As long as we establish that.
Yeah. In theory, I think that this is an interesting idea, but I do think that it does. It's a slippery slope, Danny.
I would like this here just because I've been in several arguments with my wife. Mm-hmm. When we drive by or she talks about people who seem to have it all, I say, no, you don't know that they have money. They could just as likely have a ton of debt.
Yes.
It'd be nice to be like, open up the app and be like, see, I told you, look, they don't have it all. They're living under extreme pressure through debt, yeah. And I'm going to report them right now, increase the weight on their shoulders.
Exactly. Looks like they can afford to pay back their debts with all those boats that they've got.
Exactly.
Now, what would constitute somebody living it up, Tyson? Like, if you see somebody walking through the mall and they've got Dippin' Dots, is that like, they didn't need to stop and buy a snack?
I think that's okay, but if they've got, like, a Jordans, a bag
this is,
with
yeah,
Jordans
this is
in it
China. The guy's
like
got
that.
A new pair of pants and some shiny sneakers. It's time to report him.
Yeah, because you don't know necessarily like they like, hey, they're driving a nice car, but maybe that's what they got in debt buying. Mm-hmm.
It's true. It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Look, like all social media, you don't want to get into the nitty-gritty details that will tell you the truth. You just want to get an overall view of it and then impose your own biases. And
yeah, your own
them.
Views. And
you're
then
like, I'll just make a ton of assumptions. Yeah.
Show your outrage at whatever little information you have to go off
of. Exactly. That's what social media is for.
Okay. Here's the other thing, Tyson. Now, you have said that you think that public shaming is a great way to modify people's behavior. Do you think that is the appeal of the app where that you get to go
on? I mean, the app is not appealing, but I think that, yes, definitely the public shaming aspect of it is what's going to get people to correct.
But do you think that people will want to get this app so they can find the people in debt and then be part of the narking on the debtors?
Well, this is a design by the Chinese government to get people to watchdog each other, because when you can get that, then nobody can be truly united.
Mm-hmm. Everybody lives in fear.
Yeah, it's and that way it's like it's not Big Brother that's doing the policing now it's each other, and then you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Yeah, but what do you get if I I see Danny is drinking popping bottles of Chris in his front yard, and I
watering his plants with it.
What do I get? Do I get something? Do I get points?
Yeah, then
satisfaction.
You should get a reward of some sort, and then only then if you get a reward of some sort, then it makes sense.
Well, you could first of all, two facts that we haven't covered. One, this is only being released in a small provincial district in China. So mm-hmm. It's not nationwide.
Yeah.
The other one is that I think that it's an add-on to Weibo or WeChat, one of those two services. So it's not like a standalone app, I don't think. I think it's something you can add on. I'm not sure how it works. But I think that they have a system where if you tie it into the citizen score, you know, your citizen score goes up if you report.
Bumps up. Then you get points.
Yeah, then you have something that makes it worthwhile to report people, other than just the satisfaction of being able to destroy other people's lives if you don't like them.
Right. So the people that are in debt should only be, you know, living glamorously in private.
Yeah, that's what it'll do. It'll take everyone who's living these glamorous debt lives, mm-hmm. And move them into their living rooms, where they can just shelter themselves and you know, buy tons of stuff off of Alibaba or whatever it's called and just live it up in their house.
Which is good, because I think that people, you know, try, because of all of the Instagram social media sharing of like, hey, I'm living it. And we'll talk about this when we get to the Fyre Festival documentary reviews. Mm-hmm. Too many people that can't afford to go to places like the Fyre Festival or just want to go there to be seen. And then this will cut down on that.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
This is what's going to make it awesome is if they instituted that in the US, but it was linked only to people's Instagram accounts. So then you can see when somebody's like, I'm in Bali, I've been here for 18 months. And then you're like, they're $850,000 in debt.
Yep.
And then you report them and then they're not allowed to take any extravagant photos on Instagram. Yeah. They can only post stuff that's below the poverty line or something like that until they change their ways. Mm-hmm. But once you hit rock bottom, then you're allowed to post whatever you want as a reward for being on the rock bottom.
Okay. Now, Tyson, would you mm-hmm. be interested in participating in the Chuck Norris 5K?
Yes, I would, but I would not pay an entry fee for it.
I kind of wonder if this is Chuck Norris rounding up all of his doppelgangers to eliminate them.
You think so? Or he wants to round them up to fool everybody?
One or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'll
to have a ranch of Chuck Norris's just wander in the open range. Open range Chuck Norris.
We haven't even talked about the story.
Okay. In San Antonio, they are rounding up all of the people who want to look like Chuck Norris to set the world's record for the most people to be in one place dressed as Chuck Norris. And then they are going to run a 5K on May 4th, Star Wars Day.
So
may the 4th be with them.
This first started off as like, let's just get all these Chuck Norris wannabe lookalikes together. And then they're like, that's not enough. Let's just throw in a 5K. Like, it feels like the 5K was an add-on later when they're like, well, we got to make this for, you know, something, some kind of an event. We can't just have them, as Tyson describes, roaming the prairie, a bunch of Chuck Norris's. Why the 5K? It's so pointless. You're going to travel all the way to San Antonio to run 5K, look like Chuck Norris?
So?
Yes.
Oh, you're going, Rob?
I'm thinking about checking it out. That they have. It says here in the article that please note organizers are not responsible for any injuries that might occur from allowing Chuck Norris to give you a high five, because he will be there waiting at the finish line to high five you. But you got to be careful. A high five from Chuck Norris, not everybody can handle that.
Chuck Norris really came into his prime later. I mean, Walker, Texas Ranger was great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can argue with that. But people like him and Nicolas Cage really exploded in the era of memes.
Yeah, they exploded when they are beloved so ironically that they've created like this weird, like nobody's a real Chuck Norris fan, but because it's so hilarious.
I bet some people are. Yeah.
No, those people are all gone. They've departed.
They're all gone. They're all going to be in San Antonio, Tyson. You can meet every single one of them in San Antonio.
No, the hipsters have created these bigger, like the Chuck Norris, as soon as the Chuck Norris jokes started going, that's when he started really gathering steam. And now he's just like, the greatest thing that ever happened to Chuck Norris was a Chuck Norris joke.
The weird thing is that the same thing didn't happen to Van Damme. Because he was similar to Chuck Norris.
Too early. I don't think he hung around long enough.
You think it's too early?
He didn't hang on.
I think Van Damme, he also had to compete with Seagal. I feel like that they're sort of like in the same lane.
Mm. Yeah, Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal almost did it. Like, we hear jokes about Steven Seagal from time to time, but he just didn't quite like get over the hump of like being that hilarious.
And he moved to Russia, which is always a bad move.
Yeah.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Good for him.
I see in the chat, there's a question of whether the proceeds are going to charity. Yes, 100% of the Chuck Norris 5K is going to two children's charities. So good job there by Chuck Norris.
You sign up, they give you 100%. A Chuck Norris shirt. They give you a Chuck Norris belt buckle and a Chuck Norris beard or mustache or something to apply to your face to run
for
the 5K
reals?
In. Yes.
You get all of that?
Oh, yeah, that's what like I'm saying. Now it's a bargain, isn't it?
Now it does sound pretty great.
I don't know if the beard is made out of real Chuck Norris hair
No, oh, that would be great. You'd die on the spot if you got a transplant.
You probably couldn't hoist it. It's too heavy.
I was going to say, yeah, he's been collecting all of his trim pubic hair from all over his body for years for this moment. And he's made so many great Chuck Norris moves. Yeah,
Chuck Norris doesn't manscape, Danny.
Yeah. That's actually probably true.
Yeah, it just
manscaped Chuck Norris's.
That's how Chuck Norris is.
You guys are hitting all of those Chuck Norris jokes.
That's what I'm saying. Non-stop. And they didn't even used to be a thing, and now they're a cultural phenomenon.
See, and the thing I like about Chuck is that he takes it in stride, whereas Nicolas Cage is offended by his ironic fandom.
I
saw an interview the other day where he was like, "I am a real actor. I take on these challenging roles," and I just laughed because I had just watched like a 10-minute clip of all these weird random Nicolas Cage movie moments, and I'm like, really? Like the beekeeper one where he like punches the ladies, and then it's just he didn't like
crying?
It as much as Chuck Norris. Yeah, you should watch his clip of like Nicolas Cage's finest moments. That's pretty good.
Okay, so the Nick Cage 1K, we're gonna cancel that one.
You won't be seeing a Nicolas Cage 1K.
Okay, let's talk about. Speaking of, you can get the Chuck Norris beard, or how about a rainbow beard? Is it time to become a manicorn? This question. Now, we know about the unicorn frappuccino, Danny. Mm-hmm. What about this new trend of becoming a manicorn?
I am frantically trying to pull up manicorn here in Google.
Yeah. Okay.
Only one guy's become a manicorn. I don't dislike it.
No. I want to know if this is real. Okay.
It's as real as Broga.
Okay.
Manicorn is a man who takes a rainbow dye to the facial hair.
Go on.
Now, is it possible, Danny, is it possible that the first manicorn robbed a bank and opened up one of those bags of money? And just got paint.
The dye packet exploded.
Covered
his beard.
No, I'm a manicorn. I did not just rob a bank.
It's very possible that it's also possible he dipped his beard in his unicorn frappe. Tyson, what was it you said?
Didn't
they make a unicorn frappuccino? And he just dipped his beard in, and everybody thought it was cool, and so he started this movement called manicorn.
Yeah.
No, you got to bleach it first. That's why it. Doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Look at that guy obviously bleached his beard first and then put the color in. I like the look. I think it's pretty dope. But is it really a fashion trend, or is it the Broga guy's trying to get back in the news again?
Let's check on Instagram. Let's look at hashtag manicorn.
Let's see how
many posts there are. That's usually the way that you could tell with one of these trends what's happening.
I've discovered manicorn in the Rice University I don't even know how to say that. Anyway, they have a definition of manicorn: a mythical male creature who is successful, funny, intelligent, chivalrous, masculine, adventurous, artistic. So who wouldn't want to be a manicorn?
Okay. So I have the number on Instagram of how many posts have used hashtag manicorn. Tyson, what is your guess? How many posts have been put on Instagram, the app, with the
224.
Okay, Danny, would you like over
125?
So you're saying under?
Yes.
Okay. 1759.
Oh, wow. Not a full-on epidemic, but still pretty
more
strong.
More than Broga.
These Broga guys, they say lightning doesn't strike twice, but it looks like they got it.
Although not all of these manicorn hashtags are of a man with a multicolored beard.
Are you looking at dongs?
No, not yet. Not yet.
He'll get there, I'm sure. Not yet.
So some of these are men dressed as unicorns in other ways, but very few of them have been men with a multicolored beard.
Okay. So you're saying that maybe they just lucked out on choosing something that was already a thing and then piggybacking off of that?
I think that men have dressed up like a unicorn before, but it seems like that very few men might be. I think they might have taken all the pictures of men that did this and put them in this article.
Yeah, They sure did.
The extent of it. It seems like that the over-under on men who have made the manicorn beard seems like it's about 12 or 13.
Hmm. That's not a trend by any stretch of the imagination.
These are the first manicorns.
The first manicorn. It sounds like a great movie.
The first manicorns.
Last of the manicorns and first of the manicorns.
The last year. The
first
Cruise.
And last of the manicorns.
Okay.
Who did you say? Mel Brooks?
No, Tom Cruise. The last
Tom
unicorn.
Cruise.
I think that was a movie.
All right. Let's get into something that we talked about last week on the podcast. Everybody was abuzz about the two competing Fyre Festival documentaries. And we had some homework from last week that I was assigned to watch Fyre Fraud over on Hulu. Danny refused to watch any Hulu content. Danny instead watched Fyre, which was the Netflix documentary, and Tyson Apostle watched both. Has everybody completed their homework assignments?
Yes.
Okay, and now we will get into the spoiler section of our podcast where we are spoiling the Fyre Festival documentaries, which I'm not sure if you can spoil them.
Yeah, we all already know the outcome.
Right. Okay. All right. So, Tyson, how should we talk about this? How should we frame this discussion?
Well, I don't know. I mean, both of them, so anybody who doesn't know,
do you want to hear the report from Danny and then from myself, and then you can tell us who was more correct?
Okay, sure. I mean, both of you guys don't have the same information I have.
Yeah, well, we only have one movie.
Let me describe my favorite scene. I think summed up the Netflix documentary.
You describe your favorite scene, and then Rob will describe his favorite scene, and whichever favorite scene I deem the better of the scenes will then be the better documentary.
So give us your review.
Okay, so this scene, probably it's not a standout scene, all right? But it's early on when the festival is kind of beginning to develop. They've gotten, they've sold all their tickets. They promoted it using the models, all the what did they say, the 10 most popular models. And they're picking up steam, and it shows them planning. They have a, they have this planning meeting where they're discussing where to put the toilets and where to put the campsite on this island. This is when they still had the private island, the Escobar Island. And the man talking is, I think he's Dutch. The guy who taught himself to fly.
This is a lot of people's favorite scene.
One.
Oh, he wasn't.
This is a lot of, but this is a lot of people's favorite scene from that one on the internet.
Okay, good. So people know. So the Dutch guy who taught himself to fly on Microsoft Flight Simulator, that guy by himself deserves a documentary. He's there describing what's going to happen. And they're looking over the shoulder of this group of people, all the organizers, the people trying to figure it out. And they're looking at what looks to be a hand-drawn map of the island, terribly drawn, by the way, on like the backside of one of those placemats, paper placemats they use at a restaurant. And somebody spills gravy on it. And I remember that was my favorite scene because it just showed how just not prepared they were. Here they were. They didn't even have like a legitimate map of the island. They had a hand-drawn map by a Dutch pilot who taught himself to fly using Microsoft Flight Simulator. And they're going to plan this, you know, million-dollar festival, multi-million-dollar festival for all these people, provide all these things, and they can't even provide themselves with a good map. And I thought, oh, that's the moment. That's the moment when everybody should have backed out.
I'll describe this to Rob. So the internet is abuzz with this guy, the Dutch guy. So he's just a pilot they found down there.
Is that Ja Rule?
No, it's not Ja Rule. It's not the pilot.
Okay.
It's just this Dutch guy, and they're like, they just interview him for some reason, and he was kind of like their logistics guy a little bit.
Yeah.
Until he told him it wasn't going to work, and then they fired him. But they, he has one scene that's like three sentences long where they're like, how did you come about to be down here a pilot? He's like, well, I bought a plane and then I taught myself to fly by myself on Microsoft Simulator, which is actually very good.
Yeah.
And that is what the internet is freaking out about, is that this guy just self-taught himself how to fly an airplane on Microsoft Simulator.
Anyway, I thought the documentary, to give an overall view, was slick. It was a documentary. It was well made, a little heavy on the drone shots. I was surprised with how much footage they had of the planning up to the event itself. Like, it was amazing how much footage was shot of everybody planning, not just the promotional material at the beginning, but leading up to.
That's because F. Jerry was in charge of it, so they were documenting everything already.
It goes back to what Rob said about feeling like the whole thing was just a scam to make a documentary, which I think Rob brought that up. Because I'm like, how do they have this much footage of
Fyre Festival documentary fraud?
Yeah, exactly. Just so, I mean, a $24 million fraud. But anyways, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was kind of dumb at the beginning, but it got better as things progressed.
Okay. Now, I watched the Hulu documentary, which I think that the big selling point or anti-selling point was that they had. So they had the interview with Billy McFarland, who was sort of the main culprit behind the Fyre Festival. But they also had to pay him to do it. But he did not get a great edit, especially towards the end, that he really came across. Like, in the beginning, he was sort of like painted as like he was a guy that could make anything happen, and he was a miracle worker. But he sort of was painted as sort of like being like an idealist in the beginning to being an out and out con man by the end of it. There's one point where he wants to walk off and like, I need a break. Like, I haven't lied about anything today. And then they showed like all the things that he was lying about. So I thought that he really came across poorly.
Came across as a young Ken Lay.
Basically, that he really came across as a total, you know, fraud and a scam artist. Felt very bad for the woman who was his girlfriend by the end of it.
Stand by your man.
Right.
Wait, stop. He had a girlfriend because they don't, I don't remember.
Not through the documentary.
Interior. Yeah.
He had, he met a girl since he's been prosecuted. After he got prosecuted and stuff, and she's just like, it's just so unfortunate. He's still like conning people into thinking that he's the victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he came across not so great. There were no commercials. I know that was a concern of like how many commercials would Hulu have during that. There was no commercials during the documentary. But I did find that they used like a lot of like cut, like some, like somebody told them, this will be really awesome if you have like a lot of like cutaways to like pop culture references where that they would like say something of like just like as an example. That they would talk about like Billy was known for making people like sign a contract and then go back against them, and then they'd like cut to like a Family Guy clip of like Stewie like looking at like contract, what's this about, okay, I'll just sign it, where I didn't need that. It was like, wait, why am I watching these clips that they I think they were like trying to make it like a YouTube video, but it didn't work for me, Tyson.
Yeah, I mean,
too many clips.
Now that you say that, I did notice those, but I wasn't bothered with them while I was watching. I was just like, whatever. They were whatever for me. But I think the fairer documentary was probably Hulu.
Ah!
Netflix did go pretty soft on F. Jerry. So on Hulu, they interview this guy who worked with F. Jerry, who pretty much was like, we knew kind of the whole time. And then he left F. Jerry. It was like his big project, like his first assignment with F. Jerry, and the Netflix one was just kind of like, F. Jerry didn't know, we were just hired to do the marketing, we didn't know anything.
Well, you had to do that if you wanted to get F. Jerry's footage, I'm sure. But I will say this, as I watched it, I thought so many people here are scammers. Not Billy's the biggest of all. Like, that debt app was built for Billy. Like, it would be nice to know when he's nearby.
Yes. No, that would be perfect.
Right? You're like, boop, 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 Billy is nearby. And then you can look and see if he's drinking.
Well, because they talked about that in the Hulu one where it was like, he's like, you know, up in this penthouse. He's in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
He's
after.
And it's like, you know, he screwed over all these people and he's still like living the high life.
Driving his Maserati around and stuff.
Also shares a lot of the blame.
Did you hear that interview? Which one was that on where they were in a conference call about?
Yes, it's on both. Or it might be on both. But yeah, that's what I'm talking. He's like, it's not fraud. All we did was mislead people through marketing or something.
Yeah,
like
We didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, we didn't kill anyone.
And then they all laugh about it.
Ja Rule, I don't think he ever knew what was going on.
He didn't, but he was there the whole time and present.
He's there.
He
should.
He definitely shares responsibility for promoting something that, I mean, if he wasn't aware of watching this whole thing develop, if he wasn't aware of the dumpster fire that was, you know, he was responsible for, then he's an idiot. Because
and the best quote on the
oh, that might ahead. Be so.
No, the best quote on the Hulu one is the man who gets up and says, "It would be funny if it wasn't so criminal, but it is criminal."
Yeah,
but still a little bit funny.
Yeah. To me, I just feel like that Ja Rule, that he's like, okay, this guy's got it all figured out. You know, my job here is to promote. My job here is to.
Yeah, but he kept going down to the Bahamas and he saw the firsthand the entire time.
Why? Are you in the pocket for Ja Rule? Do you have some connection yeah. to Ja Rule?
Why? How do you know Ja Rule, bro?
Yeah, what's going on?
Go way back, okay?
And there's a class action lawsuit against all of the models, everybody who helped promote it, et cetera, because they all had something to do with misleading everybody.
Yeah, I didn't agree with the models being roped in. What do they know? They go out. That's their life, is to promote products that are made in Chinese sweatshops. I mean, they don't really look into anything. They just go, let their pictures get taken. Yeah, but that's
why. But part of this is why now on Instagram, you see a paid advertisement for such and such mm-hmm. as their posting.
I did love that they said this festival was set up by the biggest models in the world posting an orange tile, and it was destroyed by some kid with like 20 followers posting one picture on Twitter of the cheese,
sandwich. Yeah,
I did mm-hmm. like that. I thought that
was great.
Yeah. Overall, Tyson, would you watch more footage about the Fire Festival, or do you feel like that need has been satiated?
I would watch more new footage on. I wouldn't watch the same footage over, but I would watch new footage of it because it is pretty funny. There's one comedian on Twitter that said two Fire Festival documentaries came out this week. I'll just watch one. Or me like 2 hours ago, I'll just watch one. Me 2 hours later, I've watched both documentaries and could watch Fire Festival footage for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Continuous, nonstop.
I'm waiting for the Sex Island Diary to be turned into a movie.
Sex Island turned out to be a disaster, or at least that they were able to lock down the social media on it. They just had that one guy.
There was just one guy there.
I'm waiting for that journal to be turned into a movie. I'm sure that Paramount is working on buying the rights, but it's going to be a great movie.
Why didn't somebody wear a GoPro the whole time so we could get real actual footage instead of just...
Look at all the footage that came out of Fire Festival.
Tons.
Like, there was a ton.
Yeah, but that's because Billy was like, dude, you got to film this because it's going to be epic when we do this.
Yeah, but if you paid a lot more to go to the island, it seems like you would want to document. Maybe you don't want to document that.
Maybe by law you can't document this.
You guys are talking.
I know who would. Colton Underwood, the virgin from The Bachelor.
Or the kid who won the free trip. You would think he would want to document it.
That's true too.
All right, hold on. As we're talking about Netflix versus Hulu, I have some breaking news at this hour.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news are happening now.
I just got an alert on my phone. Hulu dropping price to $5.99 a month after the Netflix price hike. Danny, what do you think of this move from Hulu?
It's only a dollar drop for the advertisement ones, right?
Yeah, pay a little less to see more commercials.
Mm.
I mean, it's as bad as TV used to be 20 years ago. Maybe worse, because I feel like I should have the option to skip all those commercials now because I'm in the future. Back then, they were expected. Now, they're unexpected.
You're
so every commercial is painful.
You shouldn't have to watch commercials, right?
Oh, I bet Tyson loved the mention of influencers constantly in the Netflix
So stupid that those guys get paid to just travel around like that. Mm-hmm. I'm an influencer. Get out of my face.
Yeah.
Tyson, let's become you could be an influencer. Let's get your Instagram popping, and maybe you can get invited to the next Fire Festival.
Yeah. Now, Fire Festival 2. Do you think is the time right? The Fire Festival has never
They
been
talked
fire,
about
Tyson.
It. They talked about doing
no, but
they this.
Talk, they, but now let's talk about it like now you go there, you know it's the tent. You know there's nothing there.
Oh, they're not going to try and improve it. They're just going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's the same. Could they get people that like would bands come now to Fire Festival? You know it's a tent. You get a mattress when you land.
They even spray the mattress with a little bit of water.
I think not the same prices as they were charging people, but Maybe.
I think this Ja Rule is still going to play.
Oh, Ja was going to play the whole time? I don't even think he was on the list to even play.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want Ja Rule in any way associated with the next Fyre Festival.
No, he has to be there.
Him and Ashanti are going to do their duet.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
Get Chuck Ashanti Norris, back in there.
Look, let's get Chuck Norris and Nicolas Cage to host the next Fyre Festival.
Oh, my gosh. Then you've got something.
And we'll hand out the beards. Mm-hmm. We'll hand out the...
The receding hairlines for Nick Cage. What is he?
The bald caps.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be a lot bigger hit. I mean, we can't charge as much, but fine because we want expectations to be in the basement.
But there will be a bunch of avocado toast.
So much.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the Fyre Festival? Oh, Tyson.
Yes.
I felt like that some of the footage for the Fyre Festival, that when they were showing like all of the influencers, they were all like, hey, like it's the day of the Fyre Festival. I can't wait to leave. Everything looked so pristine on the camera.
What cameras are they carrying?
Do you think was any of the footage shot? Fake? For the documentary, I have to feel like that there was like nothing that was like shot like vertical that was
right.
Like,
no, in Netflix they had vertical. They had lots of vertical.
Netflix had some vertical, but not here. There, that is true. That is a good point. Like they'd be like, hey, the best influencer was
an investigation.
Yeah. And I like the influencer that got on the plane because they were chartered planes to go to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I liked that she got on and then complained about how the seat was even worse than the worst basic economy in the world.
I like the guy that took out the window frame.
Yeah.
On the airplane.
That was good.
The guy that was putting baby oil all over himself that was drunk at the airport. I like that guy also.
There are definitely some good characters that I hope we get to see more of in the future.
Tyson, you can see them right now. They're influencers. Get on there and just start following them all.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else from the Fyre Festival? Ready to move on?
Yes. Let's close this book and never return.
Wait. Can we create an app that tells you if a self-proclaimed influencer is within punching distance of you?
I don't think we're not advocating punching anymore.
No, we're not advocating punching, but just so that you could daydream about it.
So you know.
Oh, here's one last fact I didn't know that I found surprising, and it's at the very beginning of the documentary. It started off as an app, the Fyre app, which was a promotional tool, kind of like
Cameo.
App.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the app was genius, dude.
Yeah, they should have just stuck. They should have stayed in their lane.
Yeah.
Stayed in their lane. Okay. All right. We know what lane is coming up next. Time to switch to DBH.
Slip right in there.
We spent a lot of time on the Fyre Festival. I mean, should we just go right into the bolt hole?
Yeah, without a song this morning. Before you start it.
Yeah.
I've been asked by somebody to address this pullover I'm wearing.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
I live in Arizona.
Is that
so you
got to
wear that. No, it's Southwestern.
Mm.
You got to wear Southwest print when you're in the Southwest, right?
Yeah.
Rob, if you move to Arizona, we could both be wearing these. Get rid of that plaid. Start wearing some Southwest print.
You get some influencers talking up Arizona.
Oh, that's true. You would think I should hire Bella Hadid to talk about how great Arizona is.
Yep. Yeah. Kendall Jenner, maybe.
They paid her. I like that in Netflix. They said $250,000 to Kendall to post that one post.
Mm-hmm. About the festival. Was it Kendall or Kylie?
Either one. Who cares? $250,000.
Agreed.
I wish. Tyson, isn't that worthwhile for you to become an influencer? $250,000.
Yeah, but I'm not sexy enough.
No, you're not. You're not even with those new shirts that fit you perfectly. Sorry.
Unfortunately.
I think I am.
Kind of a downer. I want to take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for creators with over 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. You'll discover countless ways to fuel your curiosity, your creativity, and even your career. You could take classes in social media marketing, mobile photography, creative writing, or even illustration. Whether you're looking to discover a new passion, start a side hustle, or gain new professional skills, Skillshare is there to help you keep learning, thriving, and reaching those New Year's goals. They've got a great offer right now for our listeners that you can get 2 months of unlimited classes for free on Skillshare when you go to Skillshare.com/RHAP. You know, it used to be, Danny, if you wanted to learn something, you had to like learn how to go and fly a plane. You had to wait for buy some expensive, Microsoft programs to be able to do it. Skillshare is great because you can go on and watch a bunch of video courses taught by people who are professionals in the field. I love stuff like this.
Yeah. Do they have a course on how to listen to my wife?
You want to be able to follow listener. Her instructions better, be a better listener. Yeah. I'm sure are more geared towards being a professional, learning things like being on social media. Tyson, if you want to fulfill your dream of being an influencer finally, then this could be the way for you to go. I did watch a class on how to use Instagram better, and I did learn how to put links in an Instagram story. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I just learned how to do that too, but I don't do it very often.
Yeah, well, you could find out exactly how to do it and check that all out on Skillshare. Join the millions of students who are already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right. Skillshare is offering Robin's Podcast listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 25,000 classes for free. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/RHAP. Again, that's Skillshare.com/RHAP to start your 2 months now at Skillshare.com/RHAP. Danny, what's in the balls hole?
Okay, Rob, I'm just going to start talking, and I'm not actually going to start the story until you play that music, because I know you're going to... There
it is. Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to feel you belong. I'm nocturnal.
Tyson, you should have played the Fire Festival.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. I would have been the headliner after everybody else backed out.
Did they have one band play? Did anybody play? And they never they showed everybody getting there. And then it was like sort of like then they showed everybody trying to leave.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I really don't think anybody played. I don't think
somebody
any band showed
played.
Up.
They could have just like really just had the main stage for, I don't know if there was a stage.
There was. Hmm. They set up a stage.
They set up a stage. Yeah,
somebody they kind of just, there was kind of a stage.
They could have done like open mic.
That's what they should have done.
Fire Festival! Anybody alive out there?
Bring your guitar up, bro.
Yeah.
All right, guys, can I move
on? Any scammed millennials in the house? Let me hear you!
Whoop, whoop.
Ja Rule is here, everybody!
Oh, he would have gotten clobbered.
R-U-L-E.
Oh, that is his song.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't know you were such a fan.
Yeah, we knew that, Tyson. That's why he was defending him. So
strong. Oh, now it all is coming together, making sense. Oh, Ja had nothing to do with it.
Look, he was...
I could vouch for Ja.
Yeah,
doesn't know it about loans and stuff like that. He's an artist.
Okay. All right, Rob.
Well, I mean, that's a loose term for sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If somebody has like a big event, and it's like, oh, Tyson is going to be here. They get Tyson to come out to the event. Tyson's not like involved with like the planning seeing all.
No,
like,
but Tyson.
Let me see all your financials.
But I wasn't a partner.
Wasn't a partner and didn't come up with like. Didn't conceive of it with the people promoting it.
Come on.
And then laugh about it afterwards.
Exactly.
The laughing.
Can I offer all these people who got scammed some therapy?
Yes.
That's what the story is about. So
should we play the Bolt Hole song again?
No, don't play it.
Too far off.
Yesterday I got stuck in my car in snow.
Okay.
I don't know, Rob, I don't know if you're familiar with snow, but there's this thing where you stay on the road that's been plowed or driven over.
Snow, and then, that's the Canadian rapper that was going to be at Sex Island.
Sometimes when the road, when you go off the road, you go into like a ditch filled with snow, which is like the worst possible scenario. Now you're stuck in the ditch. There is no getting out of the ditch. So I dug my car out to prepare for a high speed maneuver to get out of the ditch. But the ditch determines where you go. So I floored it in reverse. And as I went backwards, I couldn't leave the ditch and just started to drive through some trees with my relatively new car. And so, you know, that that horrible sound of
the Mazda.
No, Subaru. Sticks scratching the living hell out of your car as you drive through them.
Yes, that's the
worst. So I couldn't stop or slow down because then I would be stuck in the ditch again. But listening to that sound was just awful, and the anxiety was building to a point where, honestly, I wanted to smash everything within sight. Eventually, I got my car out, and the minute I did, I got out of my car and just started screaming as loud as I could.
Just got to get that all buffed out, bro.
Yeah, well, I know it'll buff out, but at the moment, I was so mad that I could have smashed anything other than my car.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask some more follow-up questions?
Yes, go.
Is it a Subaru Armada?
No, it's an Outback. What is an Armada? Is that the truck one?
It's the big, like, 7-passenger one.
No. This is just an Outback.
When did you get it?
A year ago.
Did you throw your truck away?
No, I still have that truck. If it was my truck, I would have gone right through the trees.
So wait, now you have three cars? You're a three-car family?
Well, the truck is...
Let me get on that. How much debt do you have, Danny?
No, the truck is a work car. The Subaru was used.
Mm-hmm. But it's yours? It's yours, not your family's, and you still have the Mazda.
Exactly. No, we don't have the Mazda.
What do you have?
Oh my gosh, dude. We're going off track here. Let me go back.
Tell me the family car. Just tell me the family car.
It's a Highlander. A Toyota.
A lot's changed since the last I saw you, man.
Yeah, I've moved up in the world. So anyway.
New cars.
The race level was at 11.
Okay.
And there is something that we talked about a month ago about the ability to smash things. We talk about smash rooms, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Now, I know that they've been a thing for a while, but it turns out that in the Middle Kingdom, we're going back to the Middle Kingdom, China, they actually have what they call anger rooms.
Yeah.
Where you can go in and for 18, this is a British article from Reuters, for 18 pounds, you can spend a half an hour in the anger room smashing stuff. Now you're fully protected head to toe with protective glasses. You get a bat and they'll play the music of your choice while you just smash whatever you can find. Now they encourage that you bring your own stuff, which from a business standpoint is genius.
Yeah, I was going to say $18. How do you find $18 of stuff? Like, my greatest satisfaction when I'm raging is punching a hole through something expensive before then living a week of regret, wondering how I'm going to replace the laptop I just broke in half.
So I'm going to convert this loosely. I'm going to guess this is probably $25 American to do this
after a full Brexit. It might be $2 American.
But it's actually doing pretty well. People come in, they vent their anger. The weird thing is, in this article, it talks about these people coming in to smash things as being 16-year-olds and a younger demographic than I would expect. But the 16-year-olds
don't know how to swing a sledgehammer.
Well, it's just like, what could they really be that frustrated about? I mean, other than
teenage angst, bro.
Lots of angst.
Lots of angst. That's different, though. This is for people who like spent the entire day at the office and they need some way to relieve all that pressure.
They need an audience there to cheer you on and give you high fives when it's
all
over.
That is a good idea. Anyway, their stats say they smash around 15,000 bottles every month. And
it was like 1 hour at the fire festival.
If you have money, you can smash anything. They smash TVs, computers, wine bottles, furniture, mannequins, which, by the way, is a little disturbing.
But the mannequins are creepy. You could smash
Is creepy. Well, yeah, but it's kind of close. But the only thing you can't do is smash someone, which is funny that the promoter said that.
Yeah. What about fruit? Can you get in on some Gallagher action?
Yeah, watermelons.
You could run your own Gallagher gig.
It's like a waste of food, though.
It would be, but you can bring in your own stuff to smash.
Expired food.
This is definitely
cans, dude. I bet cans would be fun to smash with a sledgehammer.
These exist in the U.S., and I definitely see a place for anger rooms in the modern world, especially for all those people who got scammed at Fry Festival. If the Fry Festival had provided several smash rooms, I think that they wouldn't hear half the complaints.
Can, Can we go a different direction with this, Danny? Here's what I'm thinking. You know how they have those axe throwing bars now?
Yes.
Why don't we do a bar, a smashing bar, where you can go in and your group of friends sits behind the protective glass and watches you smash the crap out of something, and then it's somebody else's turn while the rest of you drink and have fun.
Yeah, I like it. But do you think we get funding? I mean, what's his name got $25 million, Billy
to McFarlane.
Do Fire Festival.
I think if we hired Billy to get us funding.
Here's the app. You hire celebrities to come and smash your stuff. Mm-hmm. That's in where bikinis. We combined that, all these great ideas.
Why would you hire a celebrity that you want to do the smashing? So you go with your group of friends to the smash bar.
Yeah. Okay. Well, wouldn't you rather see Smash Mouth smash your stuff?
No. Maybe Ja Rule.
I wouldn't want him to see him smash my stuff, but I wouldn't mind seeing them smash some other people's stuff or their own stuff. But I also want to smash stuff.
They have a story here, Jin does, of a woman who brought in all her wedding photos and just smashed them to pieces.
Smash photos?
Well, probably in their picture frames. Yeah, photos aren't going to be satisfying on their own.
Was she getting a divorce?
Yeah, it sounds like it. How about bringing your gender reveal cakes and other gender reveal items, and I'll smash them out of rage for gender reveals.
Okay, I kind of would like that.
I just feel like there's a place for this. I think everybody loves smashing stuff.
Yeah.
And without the ability to sack a city, which is usually how males would vent their, get their smashing out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, this is how you do it in the modern world.
Yeah. Maybe as more and more malls close, maybe there'll be more retail space available for this, Danny.
Actually, you just came up with a great idea. When a mall closes, you bring in all these people who pay X amount to go through the mall and just smash it.
Yeah. Instead of hiring a demolition crew,
just
people pay you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So before they blow it up, people pay maybe $100 and they just go through and they can smash whatever they want.
And recycling centers too. People turn in the recycling for glass and stuff. Then they put it up in these rooms and then you can go smash that because they're just going to sweep it into the recycling machine anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. See?
Great. Right. Twofer.
Okay. Anything else in the bolt hole, Danny?
No.
Nothing lodged up deep up in there?
I just got it out.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Tyson, anything else you want to talk about AF related?
News AF related. Let's see.
Group AF really has been on fire lately.
Yeah.
Fire Festival that we made some modifications. We changed up the group where there was a couple things going on where we changed the posting to that we have to approve your post, submit whatever you want. We'll approve one because we get a lot of people see a story that screams News AF and they send it in. So now we got that going. That seems to be working. I think that submissions are up, except for one guy that said that the group is like Nazi Germany now.
Yeah. But, well,
whatever people
let that be a
lesson
to... Let that be. No, you can't make Nazi jokes.
Whenever
someone compares something to Nazi Germany, I automatically assume they know nothing.
He said he was joking, but then it's unclear.
Listen, this group is a small sample of why we have to have government, but why also government doesn't work.
Yeah. Also, we closed the group because it also turned out that people were realized that they would share like a News AF story about something with here's a new development in the field of sex robots. And then their parents were like, oh, that's a cool story. So now we made it a closed group so people can comment and share posts that they don't have to worry
without feeling shame.
Yeah.
For their interests.
Billy, why are you so interested in sex robots?
I'm not. It's Danny that is. Here's a review that I think we should pay some attention to today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Life Advice, 5 stars by Millennial Mike.
Yes.
Was just listening to the March 26th, 2018 News AF episode. You're a little behind, Mike. And Tyson promised life advice if you leave an iTunes review. So here we go. Tyson, I've been dating a beautiful girl for about a month now. She's beautiful, smart, funny, everything I could ask for. The catch is she has dragon breath. Oh, God.
Who has dragon breath?
What is
this girl that he's dating? Sometimes I don't notice it, but sometimes she opens her mouth and it literally smells like the dirty sewage butt cheese.
Okay.
I like her a lot, but if we're going to move forward, I need a creative, nice way to tell her.
Yeah.
Can you help? Also, why hasn't anyone told her? Her own mother, sister, friends, dentist. Is everyone living a lie to this girl?
Good point.
Oh, millennial Mike, that is tough, dude.
I didn't even know we had a millennial Mike.
We do.
Yeah.
This is tough because I have a friend who also has a case of the halitosis.
Is it me?
That's the thing. Nobody knows who it is. And I've said this and all my friends listening are going to be like, who is it? Is it me? Is it me? And also, I don't know. Maybe my breath is stinky too because nobody tells me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what have you just offered her gum? What is she eating that's making it stink like this? Maybe this is what I think you do. I think you go in. Is there like a specialist that can help with breath stuff? Like if there is, you go in and get it done and be like, oh, cool, this is what they did. You should get it done too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Lead by example.
Lead by example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so, otherwise you just got to always keep her on the Tic Tacs so like and the
you,
gum.
You like break out like a bottle of Scope and it's like, all right, hey, I'll do like,
I'm going to
hey,
drink. You, I'm going to drink hey, this.
I got no. One for me, one for you, right?
No.
Here's what you do. You sign her up for that coffin video viewing
mm-hmm.
because okay. inside the coffin, it's going to eventually start to stink pretty bad.
You don't smell your own breath.
No, you can. You can. I, when my breath is really bad in the morning.
Yeah, when it's famous. Really bad. But it, if it well, was really bad saying. All the time.
It's really yeah. bad. Oh, yeah, you maybe should just become accustomed to it.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
I will say this. I had a flight instructor okay. who had halitosis, and we yeah. sat
yes.
right when next to
when you were
each
learning
other.
How to fly using yes. Microsoft.
Microsoft.
Yeah, it
we
was
sat
Bill
right
Gates.
Next to each other and in a closed environment. Every flight I would
how did you address it
every flight and he never took it. He would be like, oh no thank you. And then it's like, I what could I do after that? You know, like, no, you should take this gum. I'm not Larry David. Mm-hmm. I can't push the point, so I would just like retreat and okay. put the gum back in my
that's
pocket.
Hard because like Rachel and I are to the point where we can probably tell each other if our breaths are stinky.
Oh, I tell but, Liz.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah. how do you reach that point with this beautiful, smart, funny, everything he could ask for woman before yeah. she's just like, well, screw you.
Yeah.
You know,
I told what? My wife that when we were dating that she had bad breath one time. I think it was in 2004. And she's still like, oh, like that time. That
do I have
said that
do I have bad breath? Do I have bad breath? Yeah, yeah. That's the tough thing. Millennial Mike, man, I didn't think I was going to get such a tough...
Maybe pay off a sibling to break the news.
No.
No, that's a good idea.
Get worse breath and then like eat garlic and then make your breath worse. So she says something to you and then you guys, then she brought, I was like, well, like, since, like, well, let's both do something about it then.
How about a breathervention?
Breathervention.
Man.
An intervention
oh,
over
yes,
breath.
Yes. Make up a troll account on social media and then
to hit her with
and
it
and then like from with an egg profile like, hey, you have dragon breath and then I bet nobody wants to hear a secret from you because your breath is so bad. And then
does dragon
this?
Breath also work for dirty sewage butt cheese breath?
I think so.
I'm considering starting up a mouthwash or bubblegum company.
Yeah.
Would you like to try some of my samples?
Oh, no. Just
or, but some or of that stuff this, doesn't even
just
work.
Have this podcast play.
Yeah, that's true.
When she's in the room.
There and, you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just listen,
well done,
yeah.
Rob.
I mean,
unless your real name is far. Really Mike.
Right.
If like, your real name is really
what
Mike.
Talking about, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Look, man. Everybody should check their breath and be open to having somebody say, and I'm saying this for the benefit of Mike, if he is.
And out of love.
And out of love, be willing to accept the fact that all of us have stinky breath. And if you do.
Sometimes.
You
know, yeah.
Yeah. We should all pop some gum or get the surgery necessary to reduce it for the sake of society.
Because
yeah.
I think that maybe it can be a symptom of another issue that's going on. Not necessarily that you didn't
too much Indian
teeth.
Food.
Yeah. Tonsil stones.
I don't know. Something.
Maybe you could look up all the things diet wise that improve your breath odor and only start eating those. Like you go out and she's like, oh, I want to get the, pizza with extra spicy Italian sausage and stinky cheese.
Yeah.
And he's like, why don't we just have a plate full of cilantro?
Or in the middle of the night, just move to a different place, different state, change your name.
Just ghost her?
Start over. Mm-hmm.
But he's not at a point where he has to ghost her yet. He was wanting to move forward with her if he can get this breath under control.
I'm just offering, you know, that's at the extreme end of the solutions. But yeah, starting a new life somewhere else with a new name is a solution.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, great note.
Sorry, wait. I'm sorry, Mike. I don't have a good answer for you.
Covered a lot of ground.
Yeah,
got to a lot.
I thought I would be better at this.
Okay. All right. Lots of fun to be back here with you guys live here today. We will be back next week to talk about all of the big stories going on in the world of news AF. If you want to be a part of our Facebook group, you can apply. Find us Group AF on Facebook.
You will get upset.
To be in our exclusive Facebook group where we know where that we don't just let the public in.
Correct. But anybody who applies, we will let in.
Yeah. Unless you are a bot or if you come in immediately and promote your own
anybody
podcast.
Who listens to this and applies, we will let
and
in.
And then doesn't just come in and promote their own podcast.
Well, I'm assuming if you're listening to this,
you have a podcast.
Yes, sure.
Yes. Okay.
I think we're on the same page here.
Same page. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre putting this all together. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.
Special thanks to our friends over at True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer long. Well, you can't put a price tag on your stories, but now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number. Watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions like navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you can find out how much it dings your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you can get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you could take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.